Now the Italians and the Gascons are too much alike and know each other too well ever to trust what any of them may say of himself. So in reaching the walls which surrounded the Palace Royal, the Cardinal knocked at a little door, and after thanking D'Artagnan and requesting him to wait in the court of the Palais Royal, he made a sign to Guitant to follow him. They both dismounted, consigned their horses to the lackey who had opened the door, and disappeared in the garden. "My dear friend," said the cardinal, leaning as they walked through the garden on his friend's arm, "you told me just now that you had been 20 years in the queen's service?"
"It's true, I have," returned Guitant.
"Now, my dear Guitant, I have often remarked that in addition to your courage, which is indisputable, and your fidelity, which is invincible, you possess an admirable memory."
"You have found that out, have you, my lord? Deuce take it, all the worse for me."
"How?"
"There's no doubt that one of the chief accomplishments of a courtier is to know when to forget."
"But you, Guitant, are not a courtier. You are a brave soldier, one of the few remaining veterans of the days of Henry IV. Alas, how few today exist."
"Plague on't, my lord. Have you brought me here to get my horoscope out of me?"
"No, I only brought you here to ask you," returned Mazarin, smiling, "if you have taken any particular notice of our lieutenant of musketeers."
"Monsieur D'Artagnan."
"I have had no occasion to notice him particularly. He's an old acquaintance. He's a Gascon. De Treville knows him and esteems him very highly. And De Treville, as you know, is one of the queen's greatest friends. As a soldier, the man ranks well. He did his whole duty and even more at the siege of Rochelle, as at Suzet and Perpignan. But you know, Guitant, we poor ministers often want men with other qualities besides courage. We want men of talent. Pray, was not Monsieur D'Artagnan in the time of the cardinal mixed up in some intrigue from which he came out, according to report, quite cleverly?"
"My lord, as to the report you allude to," Guitant perceived that the cardinal wished to make him speak out, "I know nothing but what the public knows. I never meddle in intrigues, and if I occasionally become a confidant of the intrigues of others, I am sure your eminence will approve of my keeping them a secret."
Mazarin shook his head. "Ah," he said, "some ministers are fortunate and find out all they wish to know."
"My lord," replied Guitant, "such ministers do not weigh men in the same balance. They get their information on war from warriors, on intrigues from intriguers. Consult some politician of the period of which you speak, and if you pay well for it, you will certainly get to know all you want."
"Eh, pardieu," said Mazarin, with a grimace which he always made when spoken to about money, "they will be paid if there is no way of getting out of it. Does my lord seriously wish me to name anyone who has mixed up with the cabals of that day?"
"By Bacchus," rejoined Mazarin impatiently, "it's about an hour since I asked you for that very thing, wooden head that you are."
"There is one man for whom I can answer, if you will speak out."
"That's my concern. I will make him speak."
"Ah, my lord, 'tis not easy to make people say what they don't wish to let out."
"Pooh! With patience, one must succeed. Well, this man, who is he?"
"The Comte de Rochefort."
"The Comte de Rochefort?
Unfortunately, he has disappeared these 4 or 5...